Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Noel, Arkansas, crazy morning, huh? Razorback country, how y'all living? Because something is happening down in Razorback country today, and most of you probably never thought that you would see it in your lifetime. Something that you probably will not see again for at least a couple of decades, if ever. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, I'm talking about the eclipse. No, scratch that. I'm talking about the total eclipse. Totally. I mean, insane, right?
Totally.
Total eclipse.
Totally.
I mean, a regular eclipse is insane enough, but wait until you have witnessed totality. They say there's nothing like it, which is why people have traveled from all over the world to go stare at the sun in Arkansas and several other states today. Well, stare at the moon, completely blocking the sun. Thing is, Hog Hoops fan does not need to stare at the sun to experience something special and rare and frankly almost impossible to believe right now. All they have to do is wait for the big announcement to become official, a.k.a. the official announcement that John Calipari is now the head coach at Arkansas. Yeah, sorry, solar event. You just got upstaged.
What?
But then again, sort of the Final Four. Because Cal upping and ditching the BBN and heading to Arkansas is absolutely enormous. You want to talk about blocking out the sun. Almost that big. Shocking news. I mean, yeah, shocking news. Listen, we all knew things were rocky in Las Vegas. And apparently the split has finally happened. Apparently you really can consider that a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Lexington. And Lexington might not be all that unhappy about considering that a divorce. I know parts of the BBN are not unhappy about it. Either way, Cal has filed his papers, and it would seem like you got exactly what you wanted out of this deal, BBN. No more Cal. And Kentucky might get something out of this. No more $33 million buyout. So you got your divorce. And he voided the prenup also. Because Cal really is set to leave on his own. Cal really did just, well, allegedly, reportedly, any second now, just peaced out in Kentucky for a job. Keep this in mind. Cal peaced out on Kentucky for a job that Chris Beard and Jerome Tang turned down. Although, in fairness, Cal apparently is going to get a very different offer than Beard and Tang. Because Cal got Cal money, which is massive money for Arkansas, especially when you add in the NIL war chest that he apparently has been promised. You know, the exact lacking NIL funds that almost assuredly played a huge role in E. Musk leaving town, and now suddenly so plentiful that it helped attract Cal as E. Musk's replacement. I mean, how wild is that whole thing? Cal is E. Musk's replacement. Hate to bring myself into this, but we're talking about a jungle love triangle. A bizarre jungle love triangle. You know anything about me, and even DJ, we love New Order. New Order is one of DJ's favorite bands ever. You gotta understand the era we come from, and the radio station where we met, 91X in San Diego. New Order is such a great band. Even to this day, they still sound great. That's what that is, though. A bizarre jungle love triangle. Then again, how is Joy Division going to break up and not end up with a great band? Anyway, that does sound cool, Alvy. I've heard that song a million times and still sounds amazing. It was so far ahead of their time, New Order. What a great band. Anyway, where did Arkansas suddenly find all this jack, all this cash, to pay Cal around $8 million per with incentives to make even more, plus a reported huge NIL package. Believe it or not, the alleged, supposed, reported source of these funds is none other than, wait for it, you will not believe where the money is coming from, in large part. Ready? The Chicken Man himself. The Chicken Man. The Chicken Man. I'm not going to say he brokered the deal, but the well-heeled Chicken Man has got everything to do, apparently, with Cal busting out of Lex Vegas to go to Arkansas. This guy. That guy. Let's go to Orlando. Hi, who's this?
Romy, they call me the Chicken Man.
Really? Why?
I have been on a bit of a healthy kick as of late, and all I do is eat chicken for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I am practically bringing these poor fowls to the brink of extinction. Not to mention the fact that the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster.
Not to mention the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster. Anyway, no, not that Chicken Man. I wish it were that Chicken Man. But not that Chicken Man. Not the Chicken Man who called this show with one of the most legendary self-glosses ever. The Chicken Man. No, not that Chicken Man. Who then called back years later out of nowhere and ripped a golden ticket to Steven in Orlando. That dude still cracks me up. But no, that's not the Chicken Man in question. Steven in Orlando did not pony up the funds to rip Cal out of Lexington. That particular Chicken Man who had something to do with this, and apparently a lot, would be the Tyson Chicken Man, a.k.a. John H. Tyson, the billionaire Arkansas heir to the Tyson food factory. He apparently has a long-standing tie to Cal. They're tight, they're buds. And he decided to start throwing the cash around once Beard and Tang both said no thanks to the Hogs, allegedly. However, the Chicken Man is not the only one reported to be in the middle of this whole thing. Not the only reported key donor in this whole deal. The other reported Arkansas mega donor reportedly helping to fund this whole thing is, you know who. You know exactly who. There's no way in hell Jera was not going to get in the mix here. A story this big going down at his alma mater might as well have been catnip to old Geriatric.
Done.
You know he wanted in. Of course, Jerry Jones is willing to throw down for this. He's not willing to spend anything on his football team, but you know he's all about his Hogs. You could even say he's all in on the Hogs.
That's all in.
I guess this is what he really meant by that. By all in. Not on the Cowboys, but on the Hogs.
That's all in.
Figures that Jarrett would be doing more to help Arkansas basketball compete right now than doing it to help the Dallas Cowboys compete in football right now.
That's all in.
Listen, the entire situation really is zany as hell. But if you really think about it, it does make a lot of sense. I mean, on the one hand, it seems shocking. And on the one hand, it is shocking. But on the other hand, it does make sense. In fact, I would even argue that it's a win-win for everybody. First off, Cal gets a fresh start. And you know what? Clearly, Cal felt like he needed a fresh start. You heard him on this show, this very show. He said that Kentucky program ages you in dog years. So why stay on the hot seat when you can get a fresh start? Especially if you have to retool the program in Las Vegas anyway. Why not start fresh someplace else? Especially if the money is similar and the NIL money is there. And especially since it really didn't seem like he was ever going to be able to get back to a normal relationship with the BBN. You know what I mean? I don't think it was ever going to be anywhere near what it used to be. As much as I love Cal, and I do, and as much as I still believe in Cal, and I do, you have to wonder if UK would have broken him off, if UK would have fired him, if not for that $33 million that they would have had to pay to make him go away. So in that sense, it was time. BBN was losing its mind, and they had had enough. I'm sure Cal didn't feel like living and working with that guillotine over his head for another year, even with another unbelievable recruiting class coming in.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of which, one of the big questions for Cal, at least in the short term, is will that number two recruiting class follow him to Arkansas? How many of those five stars are going to go with him to Fayetteville? Hog fans got to be thrilled to have him either way. But to really hit the ground running, he needs that talent on the board. And if you think the BBN's bitter now, if you think the BBN is going to be bitter when Arkansas comes, I mean, the incredible thing about this is a move in conference. And not only, no offense, Arkansas, not only a lateral move, but a downward move. And then how much more pissed do you think they'll be if he takes those recruits with him? So what about Kentucky? All that aside, they've got to find somebody to coach a team who can handle the job. Because even if it got away from Cal in recent years, there's a reason for it. That is a crazy, enormous job. And incredibly enough, the carousel is spinning backwards. The biggest job has come open at the end of the carousel. So the carousel, in fact, spun the other way. It's counterclockwise. It's mind-blowing to think, and how incredible is this, that the SMU job opened this whole thing up. The SMU firing led to a ripple effect that now sees Cal end up in Arkansas and the Kentucky job wide ass open because the SMU domino was the first one to fall? That is wild. Andy Enfield goes to SMU. Emus goes to USC. Cal runs to Arkansas. And now BBN's like, all right, that's fine. That's good. Now who do we get? And then every other coach who accepted a job in the cycle was like, damn, thought we had it. It's kind of like that whole story about the boat. Best day ever is when you buy that boat, and the only day better than that is the day you sell that boat. All these people who took these jobs are like, whoa, I didn't know. All right, so who goes to Kentucky then? Nate Oates, obviously, is a very attractive candidate, although he does have like a $20 million buyout. Then again, well, it's not my dough. If you want to convince yourself to scratch that check, you might actually convince yourself that, hey, you know what? We're actually being fiscally prudent here. Because if we fired Cal, that would have cost $33 mil, and we didn't. He left on his own fruition. Therefore, if we have to buy out Nate Oates' contract, it's only $20 mil. We actually are making money on this deal. And the fact of the matter is, aside from all that nonsense about being in the wrong place at the wrong time when one of his players was in the wrong place at the wrong time when somebody was shot, Oates has done a hell of a job at Bama. You can even argue that right now he might be the best coach in that league. So aside from that buyout, you can see where he would be very attractive to Kentucky and obviously on the short list. Another big name that's been floated out there, you'll like this one, Chalk. The Munster kid, Billy Donovan. Obviously, he has ties to the program. Obviously, he knows that conference. Obviously, he was a hell of a college coach. Obviously, the Munster kid is just a hell of a coach. Now, would he want to leave the NBA to return to the college game? Don't know about that. Don't know enough about what's going on behind closed doors on Rockingham Lane. Don't know enough about the Munster kid to know. But if you're Kentucky, obviously you take a shot at that. And then, of course, Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley's name is going to come up. And if you're Mitch Barnhart, how do you not at least make that phone call? He is the best coach in college basketball right now. It says here, no way in hell Dan Hurley leaves Storrs for Las Vegas. No chance, in my mind. Especially if he wins tonight. Spoiler alert, he's going to. I can't see it. Then it's a big hell no. But Arkansas swung for the fences, and you know BBN also will in response. One of the arguments I made after they lost to Oakland was, you don't fire Cal because one, I still believe in the guy, and two, who the hell are you going to get to replace him? That's the question. Well, one sidebar. Referencing Oakland, how about Coach Campy being the one to run Cal off, of all people? Two of them are tight. Either way, consider that a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
BBN is amazing when things are great, and amazingly difficult when things are not great. And it sure seemed like a big chunk of BBN was over Cal and got exactly what they wanted. And now we'll see if it's worth it. Tough gig. Tough gig. Arguably the toughest. At least the good people of Kentucky and Arkansas can come together and enjoy one thing that they do share today, totality. Because you can spot the total solar eclipse from areas of both states. And if you want to make it to one of these spots, you really should. Don't even take that from me. Take it from the anchor on the CBS Mornings anchor desk today.
People say that the partial and the total, there's really no comparing the two. So if you are making a decision this morning, folks, go to the total. The difference is like a peck on the cheek, I was told, right, and a night of passion.
A night of passion, and hopefully what'll happen here is we'll get that darkness and even the temperature drop just a couple of degrees, so you'll know you're in it.
Albie, can you weigh in on that and let me know what that guy's talking about? The difference between a peck on the cheek and getting nice. Getting down. Getting Alvin's freak on. It seems like a big difference to me.
Nice.
4 days of getting nice.
A peck on the cheek, I was told, right, and a night of passion.
Versus dropping a hammer. Oh! Anyway, Arkansas. Thank you, Albie. I know Albie's back. No way James Kelly's finding the sledgehammer. You know what James Kelly would do? He'd just play Wendy Williams every single time I said anything at all. So, Arkansas, is this the most hyped you've been since Nolan Richardson and 40 Minutes of Hell? Does it feel like the big nasty Corliss Williamson and Scotty Thurman are walking through that door? And clones, I'm going to ask for this. I know I'm not going to get what I ask for, but I'm going to ask for this nonetheless. Save your Cal was the poop in Kentucky's ice cream tweets and expos. Kentucky alum, DeMarcus Cousins tweets, fine. Divorcing sisters for your cousins, not fine. Can we please show some originality for once? And while I'm making requests, I really don't want to spend 3 hours clowning the people who are lining up to watch the eclipse. Even the total loser, eclipse enthusiasts who traveled to be on the path of totality. Even if there is a major difference between a peck on the cheek and getting nice.
A peck on the cheek, I was told, right, and a night of passion.
Listen, I know the next one's not going to be for another 2 decades, which is probably the next time these losers will kiss somebody. Let's just keep the main thing the main thing. Can we please stay on the path, not of totality, but rationality? Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky, shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty, it's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Of course, I'm talking about Pat Forty. Pat, always great to talk to you. What's going on, Pat? How are you?
Doing well, Jim. Good to hear your voice as well.
You too, Pat. Appreciate it. I love talking to you before that game. We always do this. But before we talk about the game, I've got to get your reaction to that bombshell that dropped, that John Calipari reportedly leaving Kentucky and finalizing a deal to become head coach at Arkansas. What is your reaction to him not only leaving but staying in the SEC?
Yeah, it is a bombshell, that's for sure. Did not necessarily see it coming, but ultimately it was a signal that the, you know, the relationship between Calipari and Kentucky was over. It was broken, and it was a signal that he doesn't think that he can rebuild it. He doesn't think he has the ability to fix that program. That basically he chickened out and took the chicken money, the Tyson chicken money, and left town. So a pretty big comeuppance for a guy who's probably the cockiest coach in college basketball. Now, where Kentucky goes, that's going to be fascinating, because there's nobody that's a slam dunk hire there. I think they'll have plenty of interest, obviously, from A-list kind of candidates. I would keep an eye on Scott Drew from Baylor. There's several within the SEC who might have interest in the job. We'll see if Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, has interest in them. Maybe Billy Donovan is ready to come back to college basketball. But I think also Mitch Barnhart probably owes it to himself and to the fan base to at least try to have a conversation with Danny Hurley, who right now is the best coach in college basketball.
We're talking to Pat Forty, so lots of good stuff there, Pat. When you talk about that John Calipari ultimately decided, like, you know what, man, I can't fix it. It's broken. I can't fix it. Why do you think that he was unable to fix it? And then why would he fare better in Arkansas?
I'm not sure he will fare better, frankly. Yeah. We'll see. That it gives him a chance to reset, acknowledge some of the mistakes he's made in terms of roster building, and kind of start over there. But, you know, I think the biggest thing probably at Kentucky was his teams were too young in an era where old teams win. You know, Anthony Davis in 2012 won him a national title as a freshman. People thought that was going to be the way, and it turned out it was a blip. It turned out Anthony Davis was just that good. And since then, it just really hasn't been done. So his teams were too young. He didn't do great work in the transfer portal. And frankly, his coaching is just not good enough unless he has overwhelming talent. So if you give him overwhelming talent, he's dangerous. If you don't, he's just another basketball coach.
Pat Forty joining us. Pat, one last thought on Cal. Do you think that he can change at this point in his life? Like, to the point, I mean, he did say, we need to get older. And to your point, he did not do that well in the portal, but, you know, he recruited so well getting young players. Do you think that he can make the changes he needs to make?
I mean, I'll give him a chance. You know, he's going to be able to get players. Can he get the right mix of them? Can he get the right mix of veterans and still bringing in some of the great high school talent? You know, as long as you have players, you'll have a chance. But he's got to show that he's willing to kind of blow up what has been his model and approach it differently. And in his 60s, a very stubborn guy. We'll see if he can swallow his pride a little and do things differently.
Pat Forty joining us. All right, Pat, what about the game tonight? You've got UConn, who had run over everybody en route to their Final Four matchup with Alabama. They finally faced their alleged first real challenge, and yet they still beat Bama by 14. I mean, watching Saturday, did you ever think the Huskies were in any serious trouble?
Well, the fact that Alabama hung around for 38 minutes did surprise me, you know, before they finally cracked. So that, you know, was a little bit longer of a struggle before the, you know, trademark UConn knockout blow. And then there it came. And, you know, the final score looked like all the rest of them, even though the game was a little bit more competitive. So, you know, I think the big blows from the runs from UConn are kind of inevitable. And it's just a matter of, can you withstand them? Alabama did a good job of that. And we'll see if Purdue can do a similar job of it. They're just going to have to play a great game and maybe have UConn, you know, not be on top of its game.
I was going to say, do they have to play a perfect game or a near perfect game to beat UConn?
Pretty close, I think. They've got to not turn over the ball. They're going to have to obviously make a lot of shots. You know, it's not just going to be Edie. I think they need some people to hit some big perimeter shots as well, which they did have happen against North Carolina State. They made 10 threes. If they can make 10 or more threes, but turn the ball over far less, which that was a big problem against NC State. They had 16 turnovers, and that's a very high number for them. And that's been Matt Painter's just has harped constantly. If we take care of the basketball, we can win games. And especially against a UConn team that turns turnovers in dunks and threes in transition to the other end, you just can't do that. You're going to get buried.
God, no chance. They turn the ball over 16 times tonight. They get run out of the gym. You know, clearly the big man, Pat, still matters, at least in college basketball. And we've got that incredible matchup tonight between the soon-to-be two-time player of the year and Zach Edey, UConn big man Donovan Clingan, who's an absolute monster in and of himself. Who do you give the edge to in that matchup? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, you know, nobody has been able to, you know, literally look Zach Edey in the eye, and Clingan comes as close as anybody at 7'2". So they need to keep Clingan out of foul trouble. But even then, I mean, UConn has depth at center with Samson Johnson. But, you know, Edey is just so good at dictating the terms of the game to everyone. You know, he gets position. He doesn't foul. He turns and scores. He rebounds. He's just, you know, he is going to be the one thing, you know, that UConn will have to obviously be hyper-vigilant against, and I just don't know how much there is you can do. But if he scores 35 and nobody else is doing anything and you're putting up 70, 75, 80, then this thing's going to end the way we are customarily seeing it. But Clingan can be a little bit passive at times. So when he steps up and plays like the 7'2" guy he is, then he's a real force. But he's going to have to be feeling very aggressive all game.
We are talking to Pat Forty for a few more moments. So, Pat, UConn, it's kind of hard to imagine, and then it's kind of not. I say it's kind of hard to imagine because you think about Storrs, Connecticut, but then when you think about the program, they're playing for their sixth national title game tonight, all since 1999. If they can rip another natty and go back-to-back, where would you slot the Huskies then among the bluest of the blue blood programs?
Well, they'd certainly be in that company for sure. You know, I mean, this would be – they would be the program of the last quarter century for sure. Forget Duke, forget North Carolina. It would be them. And I think, you know, you win six titles all the time. That's ahead of a lot of places. That's ahead of Kansas. You know, certainly Michigan State anywhere near that. You know, it's just Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, UCLA, and then UConn would be in that mix. So they deserve blue blood status without question, without reservation, and they should have it already. But for those people that are still holding out and thinking maybe they don't belong in that group, they do.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Absolutely they do. So before you go, you know Louisville basketball as well. Pat, is anybody dating back to your time writing for the Louisville Courier-Journal and you making your home there? I'm curious. I'm going to have Pat Kelsey on next segment. Where do you come out on that hire, and do you think he's the right person to lead Louisville back to national prominence?
Well, the biggest thing he's going to do is inject a whole new energy. You know, Kenny Payne was in over his head, never really grasped the job. Pat Kelsey will, and he will attack it, and, you know, they're going to be better right away. How much better? Should be a lot, but how good can they be? I don't know. You know, it's a whole different era of team building. He's done a lot of transfer work in his days, but you're not looking for D2 transfers and JUCO transfers as much at Louisville. You're looking for high major transfers if you want to be competitive. So he's going to have to, I think, alter his recruiting a little bit, but I certainly give him a chance to get Louisville back to contender status.
Hey, Pat, one last stop before you go. I'm looking at the women's game, and when you look at the record TV ratings generated by the women's tournament this year, I'm curious, do you expect that growth to continue? Is it sustainable with Caitlin Clark's brilliant college career coming to an end yesterday? What now?
I think that's TBD. Let's wait and see. She was such a once-in-a-generation talent that she brought eyeballs to the TVs like nobody ever has in that sport. And she was just such a spectacular player. Is there another one of those coming? Juju Wyke is obviously at USC, looks like a great talent. Paige Beckers is coming back at UConn. South Carolina is just kind of a regenerative juggernaut. So there's reasons to be interested in the women's game still, for sure. It's a good product. It's gotten much, much better in the last couple of decades. But do they have that transcendent star that make people into appointment viewers? I don't know. I think we just got to wait and see what the numbers reveal.
He is in Glendale, Arizona. Big night tonight. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the College Basketball Inquirer podcast, good friend of the program. He is Pat Forte. Pat, I know you got a million things going on today. Thanks for making time for us, and great to get caught up with you.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is nothing. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. Head, how you living? Here's a series of questions, Head. Get your crayon out. How are you living? What is that number right now? What do you think the game comes down to, and how are you playing it?
I'm living great, Jim. I miss you, but I'm living great out here. Yeah.
You did a great job last week, dude, for you.
Oh, thank you.
I grade on a curve for you.
Not bad for the big stupid.
No, it was good to have the big stupid in the house.
Well, leaving big stupid in control.
That guy right there. Love that guy right there. Side note here, I keep seeing this UConn-Florida comparison because, as we know, they're going to be the first team since the 06-07 Florida Gators to maybe go back-to-back. Could you believe that's been 17 freaking years ago?
I hate that game, dude. I hate that game. I hate that time game. I hate that. I hate that.
I know.
I hate that. But no, it's very hard to believe that the Munster kid and that whole crew did that 17 years ago.
It's crazy there, too. But think about that run compared to this one, and I don't think it gets talked about enough. UConn lost their top three players from last year's team. That's like Chalk Donovan rebuilding his 07 team without anti-Cleveland Noah, Al Horford, and Corey Brewer, and not only that, becoming more dominant. Hurley's team is now beating opponents by an average of 25 points per game. Last season in the tournament, they beat everybody by an average of 20 points a game. That Florida beat people by about 17 points a game. So it's just incredible what Danny Hurley's done with this team here. For tonight, the big spread.
Good point, dude. Good point. Yeah. Well done. Good job. Good effort. I feel like that's a precursor to what you're about to say. Let's hear it.
Yeah, because I love NCAA tournament history. So big spread tonight. Most power indexes have UConn about 3 points better, but the books have them higher, and it's because of that historical UConn dominance I just talked about. Get this. If they win and cover tonight, they will become the first team ever to cover 12 straight games in the NCAA tournament since the field expanded to 64 in 1985. The number is now 6.5 UConn. I want Purdue to win. They were my one future at plus 700, but I'm rolling with the Huskies and now laying the 6.5 points. Biggest worry in how you beat the Huskies, Creighton, Seton Hall, and Kansas all shot 50% from the field or better and beat them. Purdue can shoot the basketball. Also, of course, the EDV Kling Kong matchup you mentioned. My guess is Dan has Klingon play Zach straight up for most of the night. If he stays out of foul trouble, huge advantage for the Huskies. If he does get in foul trouble, the Huskies struggle with him on the bench, as we know, and the spacing will open up for Purdue, and they have knockdown shooters. But why I like UConn talent.
Let him play,
talent,
man. Let him play.
Let him play. That's what we need to do right here. UConn talent. Edie is the best player tonight, but after him, the Huskies have the next five best players, and any one of them can carry the load for him. Purdue just doesn't have the shot creators UConn does. Also, key tonight, turnovers. Purdue turned the ball over 16 times against NC State UConn will punish you with their defense to offense more than any team in the country if they turn it over. And their great equalizer, their runs, 5, 10, hell, 28 points.
See what
point
you did
clears.
There, dude.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it, but I see what you did there.
Nobody could, you know, ground them like a Delta flight does their pass.
I see what you did again.
It's a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger head diary all the way through the airplane. So
that's UConn for you. 5, 10, 28-point runs. It's what they do, man.
Hey, I don't want to encourage you, but that really is an amazing soundbite. You have a pilot saying, we have a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the flight. It is a biohazard.
It is a biohazard.
That's kind of redundant. Way to state the obvious, Mr. Pilot. Oh, you think that's a biohazard? Some guy dripping diarrhea all the way down the aisle? You think that's a biohazard? Since when?
Unstoppable runs.
Yeah.
You got to ground the plane, but you can't ground UConn Huskies -6.5.
You're on it, dude. You're on it. Listen, nothing surprising about the matchup. They, just so we're clear on that, you just took UConn -6.5.
That's right.
But you've got, that's right, Stewie. But you've got, see, even I have it.
Jungle the Tourette's.
But you've
that's
got
right.
Purdue +700 on a future.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So nothing surprising about the matchup. As we talked about, these have been the two best teams in the nation for weeks. It's the matchup that we expected, the matchup we all wanted. I'm here for it. First, I do have a thought on Purdue. Nothing but respect for the way they handled some really bad tournament exits, culminating with that disaster against a 16 last year in FDU. That's the kind of loss, especially bundled with some other bad losses, that can wreck careers and programs. But Matt Painter, I thought, did a hell of a job of telling his guys, not only do you not pretend that it never happened, you fully own that it did happen, understand why it happened, and make sure it never happens ever again. In other words, they took one of the worst losses and situations ever, they converted it into some of the cleanest burning fuel ever, and here they are with a chance to win a natty. Nothing but respect for that.
For sure.
By the way, I think they've got a chance. I think they've got a chance tonight to knock off UConn with the big dude in the middle and Edie and their ability to shoot the three ball. Of course they have a chance. I just don't see it happening. I've been riding with my dude, Dan Hurley, this entire time. I will ride and die with this guy. He's a maniac. I mean that in the best way possible. I love the guy. I love the team. I love how hungry and relentless they are. I love how versatile they are. I love the roster. I feel great about them repeating. It just comes down to how do you play it against the spread? Because if you like Purdue, 6.5 head is the last number you see?
6.5, yep.
6.5 is pretty good value. And I do like Purdue, and while 6.5 is a big number, it's still not enough value for me. UConn is coming off its, quote, worst game of the tourney, and they still beat Bamba by 14. So I think that Edie will get his. But Dan Hurley and Donovan C. are not going to let this guy go for 40 and 15 tonight. I love the super frosh. Stephon Castle, I know you
love
do
him.
Too.
Love him.
I think he has another big game tonight. I think UConn's relentlessness and motion game are going to wear Purdue down like it does everybody else. I like Purdue's guards. I like them a lot. I just don't like them enough tonight. I think they have to be near perfect to get this done. I don't see them doing it against UConn. And I'll say what I said going into the weekend. There's a lot to like about Bama. They did hang in as long as they could. And there's even more to like about Purdue, but UConn's just got too much of everything. Their backcourt is big, it's athletic, it's tough. They have their own monster in the middle, and they've got the best coach in the game in Dan Hurley, who is not taking his pedal off the metal. I love UConn to repeat, and even though 6.5 is a big number, I will lay those points. I'm going to take UConn -6.5.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. We need to make some money tonight, Ed.
Hell yes.
Before you go, it's only one game, so what about some props?
Yeah, I got a couple here. Fletcher Loyer, Purdue guard, over 9.5 points. He hits that mark in the four tournament games. He's played over 25 minutes so far. He's capable of hitting three or four threes tonight, and he seems to play his best against better competition. He hit that over mark in 10 of 13 games against the last top 25 rankings. So I like Loyer over 9.5 points. And the guy you just mentioned, Stephon Castle, over 0.5 three-pointers. People were clowning
come on
Nate
with
Oates.
That.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I know he went a little cold for a moment, but come on with that.
Yeah, and that's why Nate Oates, you know, freaking didn't guard him
gave
out
him
there.
Gave him some space, right.
Yeah, gave him some space, but he knocked down 2 of 6 shots. I only need one of those tonight, and I think you'll have a couple good looks tonight, so I like that. And then take
come
the less Dan Hurley not going nowhere. Why would he leave UConn to go to anywhere else in the country? UConn is the best team this century, and it's not
even
close.
Is that an editorial by you, or is that an actual play somewhere?
editorial.
Yeah,
just had to add that part. Since 1999, it's not even close. They're better than Duke. They're better than North Carolina. They're better than Kentucky. UConn is the premier basketball program in the country. Dan's not going to leave anywhere to go anywhere. Sorry.
I love that, dude. So run that down top to bottom. Well done.
Okay. UConn -6.5 v. Purdue. Fletcher Lawyer over 9.5 points. And Stephon Castle over 0.5 three-pointers. And Hurley staying in stores.
And what's the over-under on Lawyer jokes tonight during the game?
There's a lot of them. I made a pretty good one, but nobody liked it on Twitter.
Well, they said, nobody likes most of your stuff on X, first of all.
Oh, on X, yep. You're right. Yeah, so it was like Purdue's got a good lawyer, and I said, so does Alabama. And
they're like, well, you're stupid, right? Good one, dude. Yeah, no wonder nobody liked that.
Correct. They called me the big stupid.
You know what? How many unfollows do you think you got for that? Never mind likes.
I got to look. Probably quite a bit. They're like, you're as stupid as...
The big stupid. You're as stupid as the big stupid. That's why you got glossed the big stupid.
Good job. And then when, you know, I weighed in on Cal, they called me the big stupid, too.
Well, that said, I think you're on it today. Right on it. We need to make some money, Head. Let's get paid.
Hell yes, let's do it.
-6.5. Let's do it. Good job, Head. Thank you very much. The big Head, James Kelly. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We are joined right now by Pat Kelsey. Pat, it's been a minute, but it's great to have you back on. Pat, how are you?
Romy, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm going to write down a lot of those nice things you said about me and share them with my in-laws when they come in town next.
You should, Pat.
It's an honor, man, to be in the jungle. I'm a huge, huge fan. The times throughout my career, when I was at Winthrop in Charleston, when I was able to be on your show, was some of the coolest moments of my professional career, man. And I mean it. You're a legend.
My dude, that is such high praise, Pat. That means the world to me. I appreciate that. And now that you're at a program like Louisville, that you haven't forgotten that, and you were a quick yes, means a lot to me as well. In fact, why don't you talk about that for a minute, Pat? How would you sum up the last few weeks where you led the College of Charleston back to the NCAA tournament, you accepted the position at Louisville, and then you had to dive right into recruiting and assembling your staff? What's it all been like?
Yeah, you know, you hear the term, the phrase, and people say, you feel like you're drinking out of a fire hose with a straw. And I like to think, and you know how I am, Romy. Coach Prosser, my mentor, used to refer to me as, or describe me as making coffee nervous. So I try not to sip out of the fire hose with a straw. I'm trying to eat the fire hose. And there's things coming fast and furious. And, you know, when you make changes like this, moves in your life, like, yes, as a professional, you just jump in with 2 feet, you run toward it, whether it's promoting your program like I'm doing right now on your radio show. It's nonstop recruiting, the craziness of the transfer portal and things like that. But there's major changes that happen in your life as well. You know, I'm moving 2 teenagers from the school that they're in, their high school, and my son's 5th grade, and he's moving to a new part of the country. So disappointed that he's leaving his friends, but I'm gonna tell you right now, when he walked into this practice facility and he saw 2 gyms, and I mean, it's like a hoop haven, he said, "Mom, when the heck are we moving?" So I didn't have to convince that dude very much. The Kelseys are excited to get to the Ville.
Man, I love that energy so much. Pat Kelsey joining us. Pat, go back. I wanted to follow up because you and I have talked, and you know I love Skip Prosser, and those who know what a legend Skip was. But you said something else, that when you have change in your life, and it can be kind of scary, you need to sprint right to it. You know, like you run to the train, not away from the train. Can you just elaborate on that? Because there's so many people that are inert, and they're afraid, and they're trapped, and they're stuck because they don't want that thing. But you need that, right? You need that challenge. What do you do with that challenge, and what's your mentality about that? Finish that thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say a name that maybe nationally his reputation might not be what it was years and years ago, but I'm from Cincinnati, right? The 513. Cincinnati Reds have been throughout generations and generations of family there, and one of the most beloved and revered names in Cincinnati's Pete Rose. And I grew up watching him, and you know, everything he did full bore, right? Heck, this year in the NCAA tournament, or actually it was in the conference tournament, I showed our guys a clip from the 1970 All-Star game. Game didn't mean anything. It's a stinking exhibition. And Pete's on second, base hit to left field, ninth inning of the All-Star game. Pete rounds third, and Ray Fosse, one of his best friends in baseball, caught the ball. He was the catcher, and Pete just barreled over him and ran him over. He said, you know, when you lace it up, you know, you play to win. And that's just kind of how my dad and my mom taught me, you know, to live my life and go about things. You attack them. My mom never said, hey, man, hey, Pat, good luck tonight at your game. I hope you score 20. I hope you guys win. She said one thing and one thing only, and that was dive on the loose ones. Right, dive on the loose one. So that's kind of the way I live my life. And yes, unbelievable opportunity to be the head coach at one of the most historic, tradition-rich programs in the history of college basketball. In this new age of new challenges, you know, a couple years ago in the advent of the transfer portal, in the advent of NIL, we said we're going to run toward it. You know, in any industry, Romy, you know this. If you hesitate, if you tiptoe into the lion's den, you're going to get eaten. So we ran toward it and tried to embrace it, because if you don't in any industry, you're going to get run over and you're going to get run out of the business.
I'm getting fired up. I'm just so hyped hearing that. It's so true. We're joined by Pat Kelsey. He's new head coach at Louisville. You know, I don't know if it resonated with your guys. You could tell me if it did or didn't. But, of course, I know that famous moment you're talking about. I mean, Pete Rose, in a game that was termed an exhibition, he ran Ray Fosse literally into the dugout. And Fosse was never the same after that. He literally, I mean, he continued his career, but he was never the player that he was prior to that. And Pete Rose only knew one way. He only had one gear. You know, Pat, to your fact, your kids, when they walk in and they see that facility, anybody who knows college basketball knows the rich history and tradition of the Louisville program dating back to Danny Crum, Rick Pitino. Having said all that, it's hard to imagine that the Cardinals have posted four consecutive losing seasons. So how do you view the job? Is it a rebuild, or is it more of a reset to get it back to where it's been traditionally?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, you mentioned the rich tradition. You mentioned Rick Pitino and Danny Crum. I mean, you walk into our practice facility, you walk into the Yum Center, which is one of the greatest arenas, I think, in college basketball, an NBA arena. And you look up and you see banners, and that speaks, you know, to the mystique. That speaks to the expectation. I really believe, Romy, in today's day and age, that you can get good quick, right? I mean, you look at 2 years ago at Charleston, we had a magical season, top 25, 31 games, 122 in a row, and season ends. A bunch of grad transfers graduated. A couple other guys went Power Five. We had four guys on our roster in the middle of April, and we rebuilt it and we did it again. You know, the transfer portal is giveth and taketh away, right? And the transient nature of the business now, with guys coming and going, it's a constant approach where at the end of every season, you have to think roster management, you have to think talent acquisition, you have to put the pieces together. And then, you know, once your team gets there in June for summer school, I think part of the secret sauce, and the teams that are the most successful are able to put pieces together very, very quickly, create a winning culture, get everybody moving in the same direction, and go attack for a championship.
See, very clearly, while some are complaining about the portal, you have embraced it because of what it is and used it to your advantage. You know, Pat, you mentioned your mom. I want to ask you about your dad. Your father, Mike, attended your introductory presser, and he served in the Marine Corps. How much did he help shape the person and coach you've become? What's he like?
Yeah, my dad's my hero. My dad's been in the car business for 54 years, Romy, and you know, maybe if you ask 1,000 people out there, okay, let's talk about different industries. Let's talk about the car business. And people might feel a certain type of way because my dad's one of the most finest, one of the finest, most upstanding, black and white, between your eyes, honest as a train wreck guy that I've ever met. He worked long hours. The automotive retail business is brutal on a family. I mean, they call it ding to dong, man. Opens at 9, closes at 9. People come in to buy a car, you take it up at 8:50, you're there till 10:30 at night. That's all I knew growing up. But somehow, some way, Romy, he was always present. He was always at my games. He found a way to be present in my life. I think fathers, the best gift parents that they can give to their children is to believe in them. And there's nobody that believed me like my father did, like my mother did, and I wouldn't be here as the head coach at the University of Louisville without the extraordinary parents that I had.
What an awesome statement. Yep. Pat Kelsey joining us. So, Pat, with everything you've got going on, I'm curious, did you get a chance to watch the national semifinals on Saturday? If so, what were your biggest takeaways?
I wish I was there, first and foremost. you know, that when you get to that Final Four, I mean, I think the NCAA tournament, Romy, is the greatest spectacle in American sports. There's going to be a lot of people, the majority of people out there, that'll say the Super Bowl. There's going to be a lot of people in Louisville that's going to say it's the Kentucky Derby, the 150th running is this May, and it's as big as it stinking gets. But, man, Romy, there's nothing like walking into that stadium and 70,000 people there. You know, and now that I'm the head coach here, that's what I stare at the ceiling at night and think about, is us being there on that stage, the biggest stage that that our sport has, and having a chance to compete for a national championship. You didn't ask me, but if you did, I would say UConn's going to be really, really tough to beat. Crazier things have happened, but my goodness, are they humming. Danny's done an unbelievable job with that team, and they're as talented and as connected, playing as well as any team I've seen in a long, long time.
Pat, I was going to ask you about that before you left, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think that he's doing as good a job as any coach in the country right now. And, Pat, how about this, especially with your mentality?
He's a huge Cincinnati Bengals fan, too.
Yep.
I'm talking like eight-up Houdet Bengals fan. Every time I see him, we start talking about the Bengals, and he knows, like, you know, the free agents that they're thinking about picking up, the guy that they just put on the practice squad. That dude is ate up with the Cincinnati Bengals.
He is the best, man. I love the guy so much. I love him so much. And he's a big jungle guy, too. He always makes himself accessible for this show. But, Pat, doesn't it show that even with the portal and all the changes in the game right now, NIL, that Dan Hurley has proven, and he's not the only one, but he's proven you can coach these guys hard and still have success, and that some of the players want to be coached hard. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think winning players want discipline. They want accountability. You know, I've read a lot of stuff because obviously, you know, with the success they've had, the media coverage that they're having is extraordinary. And I read about his philosophy and the way they recruit and the way they hold players accountable, and I love it. That's in my DNA, too. We're an earn-it program. They're a go-get-it program. Like, we're not going to make promises. What we're going to promise you is, you know, we're going to win. And we're going to help develop you into the best basketball player that you could possibly be. We're going to compete for championships, but we're not a give-you program. We are an earn-it program, and that's what Danny Hurley's philosophy is as well. Just done an extraordinary job.
Leave me with this thought. Like, you're about the right stuff, man. You've had to work and grind and fight and battle for everything. If I had said to you when you first broke in, is this where you thought you would end up, something like this, something like Louisville? Are you still kind of looking around like, damn, this is really amazing?
Man, like, so I walked into my office, Romy, and they put it on social media. I'm sure you didn't see it, you know, probably five people did. But I walked in, and I look around, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. It's this huge, spacious area, and it has this huge glass wall that looks over to the practice facility, and it's lounge and couches and all this. I'm like, man, this is really, really cool. now where's my office? And they said, you're standing in it. And I was like, holy crap. No, man, but there's been some moments where all of a sudden I just stop time. And I look around and you think about the journey, the grind, right? I did it the hard way, right? I was a walk-on for Skip Prosser at Xavier, earned a scholarship. He hired me at Wake Forest as director of basketball operations. My job was to make sure the Gatorades were on the bus ice cold and the napkins were folded the right way for 3 years. And when he had an opportunity to hire an assistant coach in the ACC 3 years later, he hired me without interviewing anybody else. And there were thousands of people, Romy, that were more qualified than I was to have that job. He believed in me. And I thought I made him proud. And then got an opportunity at a lower level at Winthrop. We had great success there, Charleston. And to know I'm standing here right now in a place where when I tell you they are passionate about hoop here, it's crazy. Like, I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts from the west side of Cincinnati. Now all of a sudden I get out of my car and I walk on the sidewalk and no matter what, they're like, Coach, L's up. I walked into a restaurant the other day and within a couple minutes, they all start doing the Go Cards chant. It was crazy. So fan base, passion, the care factor here is off the charts. They're so hungry to get this place back in its rightful place as a national title contender. And I'm excited to have this opportunity, and we're grinding forward, and it's going to happen.
So, Pat, leave me with this thought. I never keep guys this long, but I'm so enjoying this conversation with you. I know I'd ask you about Skip, but those who know Skip was a brilliant, brilliant man. He was a one of one. He was so different. You know he's looking down. You know he's proud of you. But you just touched on something I think is really interesting. I know you appreciate how passionate and how rabid that fan base is, and I was going to ask you, and I think you just kind of answered it in part, are you fully prepared for all the amateur coaches that you know you're going to run into in the grocery store, in the restaurant, wherever, that all have really strong opinions on everything you're doing, maybe something you didn't necessarily encounter in your first two stops?
Yeah, it's going to be definitely a different animal, but it's what you sign up for, right? I get what it's like to be a passionate fan, because guess what? I eat, sleep, and drink the Cincinnati Reds and Bengals. And you know what? David Bell is 10,000 times smarter than me at baseball, but I'll watch the game and I'll second guess that dude in the eighth inning with two on. And he didn't lay down the bunt and move the guys over. I get it. That's what it is. But, you know, I would rather have it that way than have apathy. I would rather have it that way than have you're trying to draw blood out of a rock and create passion in a fan base. It is here. It is here. And the byproduct of that sometimes is that type of stuff. But that's the deal. When you sit in this seat, At a place like Louisville, that's the deal, and you accept it. You put blinders on, you control what you can control, and then obviously engaging, right, with the fan base, getting out there, making sure they see your energy, feel your energy, know your personality. That's kind of what I do, and I think it'll resonate really, really well with the fan base, as long as we win.
As long as you win, that other stuff you got covered, Pat. I'll tell you what, I got so much out of this conversation that it's the rare conversation, because the way I do this thing, I'm back to zero every single day. No matter how good or bad a show is, we're back to zero every single day. I will listen back to this interview in its entirety just for the energy and the inspiration and the motivation. That's how good you were, Pat. It's great to have you on. Congrats on something that you have worked long and hard for, and now I know that the real work begins. I know that you know that, I mean. Great to have you, Pat. So appreciate that. Good luck to you, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Romy. Talk to you soon. Go Cards. L's up.
Right to the front of the line. We go to Buffalo. The RIB, Rick in Buffalo. Rick, what's going on, brother?
Stephon Diggs can go ahead and kiss my royal white furry ass. Sorry I couldn't get in last week, Jim. I was on my annual spring or break beach vacation, and my time with the strippers was just too valuable. As everyone knows, I called for a Diggs trade this time last year. And like always, the Bills were a year late in making it happen. This dude wasn't worth the headache when he was actually good. Thank God for your boy Nick Caserio being dumb enough to give up a second rounder for that washed up a-hole. Diggs gonna drop more passes this year than irate Craig Will Acid. Hey-o! And Jim, I know personal appearances and show fodder, but Nate Oates' teeth would beg to differ. Hey Nathan, I know dental visits aren't among life's most enjoyable moments, but neither are watching you give post-game interviews. So a word to the wise, big guy. Get those things straightened out or stick to the radio spots, you traitor. And I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Great American Eclipse Day, or as I'm calling it, Great American Loser Day 2024. Never before have I seen so many people get this excited about absolutely nothing. No lie, Jim. Over a million people have traveled to Niagara Falls so they can catch a glimpse of the afternoon sky. I guess the good news is that half of these idiots will probably get mugged or shot. And I'm thrilled to report that today's forecast in the falls calls for nothing but overcast skies. I mean, really, has the sun ever shined on that dump of a city? But I do hope everyone who drove there made alternate plans to get home, because your cars are definitely getting stolen. War of the Clones thinking I was dead. Hey, morons, legends never die. War of the Bills getting tough again now that Diggs is finally gone. They've gone softer than Corona Brad in the bedroom. War of the official start of smack off season, because everyone knows it ain't smack off season till Rick in Buffalo says it's smack off season. R.I.P. Chuck Dickerson, the best defensive line coach ever to do it. Thanks for the vine, Jim. Who loves you, baby?
Oh, dude, so good. Rick in Buffalo, the R.I.B. I can't say that I agree with all that. Although most of it made me laugh, like it always does. Bringing the heat, bringing the fire, bringing the smack. Putting a lot of eggs in the Diggs is washed basket. But Rick's saying, as always, I'm a year ahead of the Bills. And when they fire McDermott, I'll say that I was 3 years ahead. Love Rick in Buffalo. Arguably, I'll say it again. Every time he calls, I make this statement, it's always true. Arguably the best ever not to win a smack off.
Good night now!